Blog Talk Radio.
This is Deja Patrick. You now listen to the two, but the truth is not going to be in you.
Some of it you're going to like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. This is Monday, and it's time for Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. 818-514-1202. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon. And of course, you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
I'm currently signing in now to the Blog Talk chat room and standing by on Facebook and Twitter. Hello, everybody.
All right. Yep, and everybody knows that that is the terrific producer, Supreme Candace.
Yay, yes, it is. I got a shout out to my son, man. That was him doing a little intro
for us. I love it.
They love you, man. So
the
there you
truth
go.
Not going to be in you.
You already know.
And there you go. We are doing part two.
Father's rights, man. The last show was so heated and got to that point of just let's do it that we had to bring it back. We couldn't wait that 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I said 2 weeks, and boy, did I catch it right after we went off the air. So we had to make it this week, man. And we have a jam-packed two-hour show on this one topic alone coming at you. So everybody strap it in, and we are going to get into it.
Yeah.
Who we hollering at, man?
Oh, my bad. Well, real quick, we got to say what's up to Maya Hawkins, Diana Bell, and a couple other people that hit us up, Kwame Wright and Ashley Mills. Got to say what's up to all of them people. Birthday shout-outs real quick. Monique Harris, 4th of July. Jared Thomas, Kiana McGrady, Sydney Johnson. My little brother's birthday is tomorrow. Say happy birthday to my brother. I have my birthday Friday, so happy birthday to Truth Brother himself.
Yeah, we was going to get into that.
Whatever, we'll get back, but real quick.
No, real quick, we're going to say happy birthday to the two brother, Devon Patrick. Happy birthday, brother. I'm just chilled to be on that line, that other side.
Man, I went shopping for hover rounds the other day, man. I was looking at orthopedic shoes and insulin shots. But, nah. Real quick, we got to say, speaking of my brother real quick, he got in a bad car accident on the 4th of July, so I got to make, you know, say what's up. He's doing well with his family now. It was, you know, he got out of there okay. His family is fine, so big up
to
them, man. We were looking
for
y'all.
That's right.
My boy Roy Morgan lost his grandmother. I told him I would definitely say what's up to him. Sorry about that, man. I feel you. And another friend of mine, I told him the same thing. He lost his mom this week, man. So, Justin Connor, man, I'll be there Thursday for the funeral, bro. Keep your head up, man.
All right.
So definitely, that's about it. But
okay, cool. And before we get into the meat of the topic, and we do have that clip that we were talking about last week on from the Tom Joyner Morning Show, we're going to get into that. But first, we've got to introduce our very special guest and resident expert on this topic, Mr. Jerry Kelly.
How you doing?
Good.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man. We good, you know.
I don't need that big intro.
Oh, well, no, we got to do that, man. That's a necessity. That is a necessity.
How you guys doing?
We good, man.
Doing well, dear. How are you?
I'm good.
Plan on hanging in there with us, man. You gonna speak the truth?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey,
absolutely. In L.A., AT&T has been tripping today. If the call drops, hit me right back, or you guys want me to call back.
You can call us right back. got a little pull with AT&T. We're going to make sure we hold you tight.
Okay.
That's different, but I'm cool with that.
Right. All right. So here we go. We're going to go ahead and play our Tom Joyner Morning clip, and then we're going to get into it. So check this out. This is from the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
What do you want to do?
Allison Mathis. Now, Miss Mathis is the former love interest of Miami Heat's Chris Bosh, who is playing in the NBA Finals right now. Miss Mathis has a 3-year-old daughter. Her name is Trinity Bosh. Miss Mathis is facing foreclosure. She lost her job, and she is now applying for food stamps. Miss Mathis says Bosh isn't paying his share of child support, but Bosh's attorney says the court system decided what he should pay, and he is paying that. I'm going inside her story with Jane Carey, the attorney for Miss Mathis. Good morning, Miss Carey.
Good morning.
We know that Chris Bosh has another child by another woman. How does he treat that second child compared to your client's child?
Monetarily, number one, Chris is married to the mother of his son. His son is less than 2 months old. His son has things like a diamond pacifier. That particular child has what Trinity does not have. Now, at this point, Trinity's mother had to apply for food stamps. She's already applied for food stamps. She already lost a job. She can't pay her bills and take care of Trinity because she doesn't have a job.
His attorney says that he's actually paying what the court appointed him to pay. How much should he be paying?
He should be paying probably approximately $30,000 a month, but he's actually paying $2,600 a month.
So why don't you go back to court and get more child support?
We are in the process of going back to court. The Olympics is in Europe this
London.
Year. Would you want your 3-year-old to go to Europe with someone else?
Yeah, he wants her to travel without the mother. He's not allowing the mother to come.
Why can't she look after the child?
Well, maybe she doesn't have that kind of relationship with the child.
Right.
It's not easy.
This is a toddler. I'm a mother as well as an attorney. And I wouldn't allow my child to go to Europe
without her father.
It's not as if he's going to be doing all of that interaction with the child.
But he's still
correct.
He has another son. Why can't he take his daughter away?
You can take your daughter away. Excuse me. You can.
Excuse me back. Well, why can't he take his daughter with his new wife? This is his new family.
We understand that.
This is what he has, a new family. At some point, this child is going to have to interact with the family. If not now, when?
The child is 14.
Excuse
me.
That child is very young, and to travel out of the country.
That's the time
I'm not a mother, but that would.
I
would not want to send my young child out of the country unless I went with that child. I can't
and to make sure that she's being taken care of.
The point here, this child should be treated like the child that they just gave birth to. Now, Chris has a lavish lifestyle. Chris is not
saying,
let me tell you. He takes care of everybody except Trinity. And he should take care of Trinity like he takes care of family and friends.
He's not going to let
He is allowing his child. I went to court with this lady approximately 2 weeks ago, and I told them that she had a job. So don't come with that. Now, and I'm an attorney. I've been one for 29 years. Chris is the worst person I have ever dealt with. And I've been
with
him.
Truth Brothers. Truth Brothers Radio. Yeah, put that in your pool.
Sound a little personal to me.
It sounds
like someone struck a nerve. You know what I mean?
First off, I'm just getting on Jackie Reed, who is a professional journalist, and to me that was the biggest piece of yellow journalism I ever heard in my life. I mean, what do you think he should pay? How about saying that he's paying what the court afforded him to pay? How come that isn't enough? Or what's the problem? She didn't offer any type of adversarial questions there. It's just, well, what do you think he should pay?
I mean not to just jump on that.
Jerry, you are in, man. So.
Yeah.
To
just say that, I believe she was just asking as a journalist, what do you think she should pay? I don't think she was saying it as in, oh man, let's see what Chris's bottom of his well is so we can give it to him.
Okay, so when she said, well, approximately $30,000, a journalist should have said, well, $30,000, don't you think that's a bit excessive? Are you trying to say that he should just supplement her income, period, and she never has to work because he's going to give her $30,000 a month.
Well, I mean, considering that it's still that person, it's not her show, I guess. I don't know exactly. Maybe she was leaving.
Right, it's not her show, and she's a woman. Two things go along with that. Yeah. It's not her show, and she's a woman, and she says she was a mother. And typically, with men that make that type of income, they're paying a lot more than $2,200, $2,800 a month. I know some firemen. I know some firemen are paying $3,000-$4,000 in California right now.
Yeah, and real quick, what Chris Bosch was paying, that was not set in Florida. What his argument was that he works in Florida. He doesn't live in Florida. And I think the court case was actually in Toronto because that's where he was playing at the time when all of this, when the first court case went down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and you know, I think J. Anthony Brown, you know, they were sushing him, but he was asking more adversarial questions than the reporter was.
My first question would be to agree with J. Anthony Brown. How is it Chris Bosch's fault that she lost her job? And J. Anthony Brown said, look, that's not his fault. Now, when she had the job, the $2,600 may have seemed to be cool. But now that she lost her job, it's where we have to go back to court, and we jumping from $2,600 mm-hmm. to $30,000.
Yeah, my man Justice said $360,000 a year.
Yeah,
$30,000 a month.
Yeah, and I think we discussed that.
Right.
And yeah, that's I'm if you take 2 months of that, that's $60,000. You mean to tell me your kid can't be cool?
That's what she's saying.
It just seems like she was more hung up on the one child receiving the diamond pacifier,
which when we did the research was a gift. But
exactly, you know. But
right, it's a lot of personal stuff going on in that. It's a lot of personal stuff going on with that. Now she can go back to court because she lost her job and now her income is at zero. So now she needs to file an order to show cause or whatever the case is. I assume that's what they were doing, and they was going for the juggler at 30.
Right,
yeah, 30.
Right. Now, here's my question, just, you know, as a question. Why don't Chris Bosch say, okay, you lost your job and you're losing your house. Why don't I just go after custody, period, so that way the child can be taken care of, and then you can visit the child as necessary, you know, until you get back on your feet.
Because the perception of that would be villain.
They went on Tom Joyner and painted him as villain anyway.
Yeah, I understand.
And that lawyer was a hack.
No doubt. I give you that because we got a call coming in.
Finish your comment.
Real fast, the whole thing behind the lawyer call. I mean, the lawyer coming in and saying, "I've been an attorney for 29 years." She didn't sound like an attorney. She let her emotions. When you're an attorney, you cannot let your emotions take over when you're in that spotlight like that. But we do have a caller coming in.
Yeah,
caller.
Yep. 951, Tony, you're on with the Truth Brothers.
Hey.
You feeling, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. We got your
How
Jerry.
I know. You got my Jerry, the resident expert.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. Wow, what a clip.
Yeah.
You know what? That attorney, they need to check her credentials. They really need to check her credentials because no attorney that is worth a damn is going to let her emotions get caught up like that. Because if she's a mother, I don't care if she's a mother, an aunt, a sister, or whatever she may be, you do not mix your personal feelings with your cases because that is the perfect recipe for losing your cases and getting what that child actually needs.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the issue about one child, you know, getting $30,000 a month and the other $2,600 a month, that's a personal issue because the courts only rule the amount to be paid by the noncustodial parent as according to his income or what he has made when that child support order was actually put in place. So, you know, he could have had something doctored. It's been done. But the point is that I think that one mother, just because she lost her job, now she's digging in deep. because now she's understanding that, you know, supposedly there's a diamond pacifier that was given to the other child. Well, that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that it's not that man's fault that she lost her job. If she's digging in deep trying to get more money, and if she can't seem to make it on what she can, whether she lost the job or not, then she has the right to go back and get a modification. If she does go back and get that modification, it's up to the courts that see fit as to what he's going to pay.
Exactly.
That $30,000 for one child to live is just astronomical. That's insane.
Because that's what she wants.
$30,000 to feed a child. It just does not. You know, now I think for the most part, I think that's on the part of the custodial parent, the mother. That's going to help her with her spending and living in the lifestyle that she wants to, not what the child is accustomed to, because the child doesn't know here nor there.
Exactly. And
that's right.
And that was my comment. Like, how do you figure that this woman is going to spend $30,000 on this child for a month?
That will be supported.
Oh, not even a year. That's a month. That's every month. You know that only thing she's going to spend. Do you seriously believe the only thing she's going to spend $30,000 on is this child?
Absolutely
right.
Not.
But remember, we put up a clip on from YouTube yesterday about what child support actually means, and it actually does mean help to supplement and take care of the custodial parent as well.
The upkeep.
So
yeah,
right.
It does
so,
mean that.
But The argument that she's making is I should be accustomed to having more and my child be accustomed to having more because Chris Bosh is a high-profile basketball player that make millions of dollars.
No, Chris Bosh is the father of your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it.
Your supplement of income to
exactly.
where you're going to
retire.
I mean, exactly, because she's not going to how after she to go back to work getting $30,000.
Well, she know, but that's the whole lawyer's point. That's why the lawyer wants $30,000 because she knows she'll never have to work again.
She will work when she gets
on one of the reality shows about ex basketball players,
exactly.
Right?
Real baby mamas,
right?
Basketball or something like
right.
that. So.
Right. Wait for it.
Yeah, it's coming real soon. But the thing that's irritating me about this, real quick, the thing that's irritating me about this subject is because of the fact that you're getting an astronomical amount of money, because $10,000 is still a lot of money. Like $10,000 a month is still a lot of money. And it's like, how do you say that that's the amount of money deemed necessary to take care of a child? Now,
because it's a percentage based on his income.
I understand your upkeep. Your upkeep doesn't mean a house. It means an apartment. Your upkeep doesn't mean you go get a Benz. You get that Honda Accord.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get out here and put 22s on your tires. It's for you to get back and forth. If you want the lifestyle Chris Bosh have, go dunk a basketball.
Yeah, but
she wants to live the life of the wife.
That's right.
That's
but the lawyer knows his contract with the Heat, and they want that. They know she's calculated the percentage in the state of Florida to know what she can expect to get if she can get Chris Bosh back in that court. And they're going to get him. Because, like you say, she's going to file for an adjustment because she lost everything. You know, I'm not trying to disparage the woman. I don't know what her situation is. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if the lawyer told her, lose everything so we can get in court.
Yeah.
Well, see, here's my thing. You know, and this is what really just turns me off to the whole thing. You had a baby with this man. If you lost your job, just to pick up a phone and call him, hey, look, you know, I'm going through some things right now.
Mm-hmm.
I need a little extra help. And you didn't even have to bring this stuff through the court.
Yeah. But
you could have just had an amicable agreement. I'm sure he would have been more than willing to help.
And that's
my thing with
what you're saying, Candace. Like, I believe that. I doubt, like Jay Anthony, I don't think that he's going to let the mother of his child get put out.
Exactly.
That's right.
I don't
that's
think
right.
he's going to do. No man, regardless
but,
of you got to have a conscience.
But I'm willing to speculate that.
Well, hold on a second. I want to say this.
Oh, go ahead.
If at the end of the day, he wants custody of the kid, he's going to let her ass get put out. You got to look at it from the other side, too. What we said earlier, why not he going to court and say, hey, look, you lost your job, you've done this, I want my kid.
But you know what?
So,
that, The reason I don't think that he would do that, because I understand what we're saying, but that could come off as being spiteful.
But a lawyer might suggest
that he do that.
That he do that.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I know like, and but in certain times, like even when we was watching this clip, it says before you take somebody to court, you got to know your goals,
mm-hmm.
your what
True.
You want to do,
True.
And even if custody of the kid is in the best interest
yes.
for you.
Yeah,
I believe the way Chris Bosh travels, I believe the way Chris Bosh's schedule is, that custody, full custody, might not be in his best interest.
But he's also married.
I understand that. And his wife could be there taking care of the kid. I understand that. But if I'm going to just say if it was me,
right.
and if I'm Chris Bosh, I'm saying I know I travel a lot. I know that to take the kid away from its mother. Now, I'm just... Being that I travel. Now, if I didn't travel, this would be a totally different thing. But seeing as how I travel a lot, I can't take the kid away from their mother just because I have a wife here and I have a son here, and I also have a I hate the term baby mama, but I have a baby mama here and a kid there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let the kid stay with the baby mom while I'm traveling,
mm-hmm.
and I'll help out. You know, hey, your house is getting you're probably going to get evicted, but no, I'm not going to let that happen. Here's to take care of your house on top of the $2,600 that I'm giving you, and here's something else just to hold you down.
Okay.
That's how I would handle the situation.
Right.
Just to say, look, there's no need to even go through this court system because, one, if you force my hand, then, yes, I will snatch the kid, but I don't want to do that because, to me, I would do it just to say, okay, you forced me into this hand, and my lawyers have told me this is what's in the
right.
best interest for
well,
me.
Well, if we go by we go by that lawyer's interview on Tom Joyner, that lawyer is already preparing her client to go into a state of war because she went on there purposely to slander him.
Yeah, but she did. But at the end of the day, you know that quack standing up to a real lawyer is not going.
But this is the lawyer that she got.
Yeah, of course, that's the lawyer she got. But I promise you, the one that Urlacher handed to Chris Bosh. It's not going to go, hey, nope, don't worry about it, what you want.
Right.
So, you know, that's just for my food for thought. But we have
cool.
another.
Yeah, we got some other callers. So I'm going to put you on hold, Tony, because we got to get to someone
else.
All
right, go right ahead.
All right, thanks, sweetie. All right, 951, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your comment?
951, you're on with Truth Brothers.
This is Mona.
Hey, what's
Mona.
Going on,
Mona?
Hi.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Let me say this. Let me tell y'all what a real mother do. A real mother gonna take that $2,600 and she gonna work that.
Dig that.
How about it?
If she
How
got
about
the downsides, if she got to move every time rent go up, whatever she got to do. If she cannot handle it, then she does need to give that child to the father. If she wants that child to live the lifestyle that the father is living, she needs to give that child to that parent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop counting other people's money. That's huh. why your normal man does not want to pay child support. When is enough enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
okay.
Well, right. I totally agree with you, but we got to talk about that.
I had to say that. What you were saying, Jerry?
I totally agree with you, Mona, but we're not talking about regular folks. We're talking about people that's making millions of dollars. We're talking
okay,
about
wait a minute, Jerry.
Another different situation. I totally
wait
agree with you. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. I am a single mother. I do have a son's father. He chose to give me $250 a month. Now, I got that, and I never modified. I never went up on his child support. I was just happy to know that I fought for my son that you're going to pay something. And with that $250 and my trials and tribulations, I'll raise my son. A mother is going to raise a child. Money
That's
does
right.
not equivalent raising a child.
Totally
That's
absolutely.
Right.
I
That's
totally
right.
agree.
We
That's
need to
right.
stop it.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you, Mona. But we're talking about reality TV. That's why they asked was on the Torn Joyner show already. We're talking about a whole nother lifestyle. And I know you dated basketball players and everything else. Most women aren't like you, Mona.
Wow,
I'm
Mona.
I'm just going to keep it real. Most women not like you. And
right.
they going out there, they like, okay, he made $10-15 million. I'm getting some of that. I'm going to go as far as this. Most women that date basketball players is gold diggers anyway. Not saying you are, Mona. But most women that date celebrities, athletes, they know what they're getting into anyway. Come on now.
Exactly.
It's like they hit the it's like they hit the lotto.
Yeah, that's there's a reason why they are out there at basketball games. They're not at games to want to date you. Or their job is to get pregnant by you, have a baby by you, so they can get money from you.
Anthony, you
hear? They're not trying to take $2,800. They're not trying to take $250. They are looking for the lotto, period.
Right.
When Chris Bosh ran up in her, he knew what was coming down at the end of the day.
He did.
There you go.
He did.
I wonder if Chappelle was on to something when he came up with the whole love contract thing. I really think he was on to something. Because, I mean, like you, Mona, I have a 14-year-old daughter, you know, that's not by my husband. And to this day, I haven't gotten one dime from him. Now, I could have taken it to the level where I could go to child support court and go through that, but it wasn't about that for me. I wanted you to spend the quality time with your kid. That's more than any monetary subsidy can do.
Yeah, and then you then got the guys that will pay the child support and say, all right, here's your money. Now don't ask me to do anything else, or I won't be there because you took
me. Exactly what my son's father did.
And see, that's the thing. Like what's crazy is it's kind of like, I don't want to say the guys feel like they're pushed into a corner. Well, if you forcing me to do this, because let's get something straight. Truth Brothers Radio, we don't represent the bums. If you out there and you just decide, oh, F it, I'm wiping my hands, you the one that's pregnant, and you walking away like it's scot-free, then you're a bum. You need to be shot. That's something totally different. But you got the guys that saying, look, I'm doing everything. When you were working, like a friend of mine, real good friend of mine, him and his girlfriend had a baby. They broke up. During the time that they broke up, he's taking care of his end. They got set days. They got everything. Yo, I drop him off. You pick him up. He's working a little, you know, $9 an hour job, but he's still taking care of his kid, and he's still doing that while she was working. Vice versa. They had a set plan. Once the girl lost her job, she didn't say, let me go find another job or anything else. She said, I lost my job, so now I have to take you to child support court. And the guy's like, why? Like, what did I do? Like, I thought child support was for a neglective parent who decides, okay, I got all this money, and it's my money. You're not getting nothing. Neither is the kid. Now the guy winds up saying, okay, yo, why are you doing this? Blah, 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 blah. They wind up going to court. He's asked to, now he's been forced to move out of his apartment because he can't afford it anymore. And now he's told her, because of the frustration of that, he told her, here's your money. Don't ask me to do anything else, and I'm not coming. You know, he don't want to come see the kid now.
Exactly.
Wow.
In a way, I kind of like, I feel him because it's done out of spite, and it's, I know you shouldn't walk away from your kid, but your emotion of what you're putting me through, you forced him to lose his car. You forced him to leave his house to a point where he's now depending on other people just so he can get to work, so he can pay the child support that you demanded from him. But you can admit that before you lost your job, he was a great father. That makes no sense to me.
Exactly. And is that child's life better now? Does that child have a better relationship with his father now because you forced him to pay that child support?
No, because now he's not there anymore. And now now he don't want to come pick him up from work all because I made him. It's like, why? It's not. No, I honestly. I don't blame him. I do not blame him. I feel for the kid. I do, because a child's relationship with their father is very important, and I understand that. But I can't really fault him, because you know it's just that type of life, man, that we live in. But
let me ask you this: How old is he?
Hey, you know, he's 17, but, hey, I'm going to get it. When you got your next question, man, we got to take a real quick break. Hold your question, Jerry. I'm going to be right back, and we'll be right with more Truth Brothers Radio. Thanks, Mona.
Truth Brothers Radio.
It's still bigger than hip-hop, hip-hop. Hip, it's bigger than hip, hop, hip, hop, hip. scared. Got a slave before the welfare. Ain't no food, clothes, or health care. I'm down for guerrilla warfare. All my niggas put your guns in there.
What's up, everybody? This is Devon from Truth Brothers Radio. Thanking you guys for making the show the success it is today. Without you, there is no truth. We are expanding our network daily, so be sure to catch up with all the latest Truth Brothers info, show topics, and questions at our Facebook page, Twitter, MySpace, iTunes, or by subscribing to our YouTube channel. There, you can also leave your comments and show ideas. Once again, thank you for supporting our truth. Chief Kendrick.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. We're back, and today, once again, we're talking about fathers' rights. And we have a very special guest, Mr. Jerry Kelly of the organization My Child Says Daddy. And we're going to get right back into it. So, Jerry, go ahead with your last question.
Yeah, I know you had asked how old was the kid. I told you he was 17.
The father. How old is the father?
He's 17. No, matter of fact, he just made 18. I'm sorry, he just made 18.
Oh, the father. 18.
Yeah, the father just made 18.
Okay, right. He just made 18. I understand about him getting tired, but he's going to become another statistic, and we're going to have another kid without a father. And I want to say this. And I know some men give up or whatever the case is. When my job told me I was going to court too much and I was 24, 25 years old, I told him I can never get another Dene Kelly. I quit my job, and my job became going to the courthouse every day, sitting in front of the judge who was going to hear my case.
No doubt.
Right.
And,
I heard
and
that.
I understand
we get beat up. But at the end of the day, when a kid looks at 10, 15 years old and say, Daddy, the money made you quit?
Yeah. How do you answer that?
I mean,
you got tired of cutting the check, Daddy, so you boned out. You knew she was crazy anyway when you lay down and put the meat in her.
Yeah.
Yep.
These telltale signs show before these women become pregnant. And I understand he's still young. He's a young man. And I'm going to ask you to continue to give him courage to plug back in, because it's easy for fathers to get out of sight, out of mind. For some men, it's easy for that to click in, and you look up, it's 10 years down the road, the kid is 15, and he's just cutting that check. I understand a father is not a check, but
do you believe that whole situation, do you believe that situation can be cause and effect? Like, yeah, the effect is the kid coming to the daddy, but saying, oh, you got tired of cutting the check. But the cause of why he's there is because the mom, instead of her deciding to say, you know what, let's go out. I lost my job. I'll just find another one. She went straight for the.
Right, but you got to remember, she's young too.
She's 24.
That's young.
Well, I guess, yeah. She's
that's young too.
I feel you,
Well, just the fact she's dealing with a 17-year-old is just. Reminds me of a clip that we got later.
Right, exactly. She 24, he was 17.
Right.
You can see where our mindset is already.
Right.
And
so,
again, this young man, I know why he's beat up. 17, too young. He was doing everything he could do at the beginning. Now he's frustrated. He has no money. He had to give up his
house,
place. He had to give up his car.
Yeah.
18-year-old had to give up his car. You know, that's hard. But I'm here to tell you, if it's your kid, you die for your kid. That's all I'm going to say. That don't have anything to do with My Child Says Daddy. That's just Jerry Kelly, how it is. I'm going to die for mine.
There you go. 818-514-1202 is the number. Feel free to call in and give your comments to the Truth Brothers, Jerry Kelly, Candace, and all the other callers. Some of you women out there who may not agree with some of the stuff we're saying, please call in, give your comments, because we're not, like I say,
tell your story.
Tell your story. We're not trying to say that all men
are innocent and all men are right. angels. We're not saying that, but there's a whole lot of good men that's being drugged through the dirt. Another YouTube clip we put out today was called Child Support is Killing Fathers. And it was a whole clip about how a lot of fathers who are being drugged through child support end up committing suicide. Because, I mean, I know what you're saying, Jerry, and you're right. But at the same time, man, it's demoralizing and hard to a lot of men to constantly get dragged through the court, constantly get demeaned by this system. And for some people, it breaks them down.
And it's a system that
yeah,
is,
it breaks
that
them
is,
down.
Yeah, it's a system,
it breaks
though,
them down.
Totally...
It broke me down to a point I wanted to go. When O.J. Simpson trial started, that's when my trial started. And actually, one particular evening, I got in my car, I started it up. I was going to go kill my daughter's mother.
Stop playing,
of
man.
Myself,
stop playing.
No, for real.
No. I'm saying that because I'm gonna tell you at two o'clock in the morning one morning, my wife was sitting there in my room holding me down, trying to talk me out of jumping in a car and going to North Dakota.
I was going to put her to sleep because I had the kid. We didn't work out. We lived together for a year. After we split up, I had my daughter, Janae, for 4 days out of the week and probably even more than that. And after I got with my wife, things changed. Everything changed. I ended up being in court. I got tired. Again, I understand being tired, but I wasn't giving up. But I was going to put her to sleep. The founder of My Child Says Daddy, he called me. He said, hey, Jay, what you doing? I said, hey, man, I'm going to put her to sleep. He said, nah, what you go do is, subject to entertaining, my boys is over here, they performing tonight. Just come on over here and we're going to kick it.
Uh-huh.
And I just chilled out that night. And that wouldn't have been the best interest for Janae. And another thing, another reason why driving there, I never had to go there, but I could never explain later on, Dad, what happened to my mom? My conscience
exactly.
would have ate me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that day, that evening, I pulled up my belt strap and I prepared for war. I went up against one of the better attorneys at that time. I fired my attorney. Reginald Brad from My Child Says Daddy gave me a lot of different information, and I went up against one of the better attorneys in Los Angeles. Her name was Angela Wallace. She ended up doing jail time for 8 years, murdering some people, but I went up against her. Like I said, I died for mine. I died for my biological daughter and my two stepkids. Once I commit to being their father, I'm their protector.
That's right.
I would That's never right. let a woman or no one take me from my kids. And I have grown kids right now, my two stepkids, and I'm battling with my ex-wife now. Crazy bull, you know what. But once I take the job as being the father, I'm protect them. I can't breathe no more. That's for real.
And that's how it should be.
When my job told me I was going to court too much, I already knew I was coming in early. I told him I can never get another Janae Kelly, but I can get another job. I
right.
left that $40,000 paying job. Now I make over $200,000 a year.
Cool. Well, we got one more caller. We got another caller coming in right now, Jerry. We're going to try to take this real fast.
Yeah. 508, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your comment?
Hey, family. This is Brother Justice. Just calling to weigh in on the situation here and be a witness to an actual fact about the suicide situation. On January 6th, a year from a little more than a year, we showed up. There's a brother I used to, you know, communicate with frequently at work, you know. And we make a damn good living over there. I worked for General Electric assembling aircraft engines. And this brother was actually one of the mechanics over there. And we had a lot of, you know, communicated frequently, and he was always, you know, in a funky disposition about his situation with three children, and two of them were pretty much in their late teens, and there was one that was actually 22, and I guess he was due to be, player of the later one, and I guess they somehow extended it or something. But just to make a long story short, we showed up to work on Monday, and that brother was off in a storage area, and he had hung himself. And four or five of us actually saw this brother. And, I'm still, like, having issues with that, you know, up to, you know, conversation.
Uh-huh.
Come to work and see a brother that you've been speaking with for 5 years, you know, hung himself at work.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Heavy. But it really speaks to the severity of what, you know, this child support courts do to people. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable the way it tears families apart, you know, and the kids suffer. It's like no one thinks about these babies and what they're going to go through. And,
yeah.
You know, like you said, Devine, over a check. I mean, I'm sorry, not Devine, but Jerry, over money. How can you, you know, honestly look your baby in the eye and say, well, I wasn't around because of this?
And I
but
totally
you're stripping
agree
their
with
livelihood
that.
From that.
I totally agree with that, you know, to an extent. Because, see, my understanding is, I thought, again, before I actually got involved in the system, I thought that child support was for the guys who just says, threw their hands up and
right.
said, F all this.
Right.
I thought, you know, because, so, like, let's be honest, like, even now, no average Joe that I know is living the lifestyle that the money that the lady wants from Bosch. The average Joe is paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a man or if you got a kid's father that's even there, that's involved in the kid's life as far as, yo, we're both going to the school to see what's the problem with his or her grades. We're both here picking him or her up from school. We're both doing this. We're both doing that. Why is there a need to take this kid to child, to take this man to child support? Why is there a need for that? But see, I don't, I talk to a lot of females that took the father to child support, some who didn't. And the ones that was crazy is the ones that don't take the child to child support court. Look at the woman who's taking the man to child support court and say, I wish I had my baby father was like that because then I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through.
Right.
So, go ahead. You about to say something?
No.
So,
besides, thanks, Justice, for the phone call.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Justice, for tuning in, man. We appreciate that. But the fact of the matter is that it's crazy how one person can look at, oh, this person's bad, he's this, he's that. But the other person is like, yo, what you telling me? He went everywhere he worked? Like, that's what's crazy. Like, the first thing they would say is like, yo, he worked? He had a job? He wasn't out there slinging nickel bags on the corner just so he can duck child support, you know. And it's like on the other side, you just have it. It all to me, it comes down to the person that you lay down with. And if that person is just vindictive and spiteful, you know that at the drop of a hat, she's just going to say, you know what? I think child support is just the way.
Well, and like you said, when it comes down to who you messing around with, a lot of times. It comes down to you can partially get along with them and deal with them. And in like Jerry's case, I know I can say me and my children's mother did our best to get along. So it seemed
mm-hmm, exactly.
until I said I was getting remarried. Well,
yeah.
when I was that I was getting married because me and her wasn't married.
Right.
We were supposed to be, but she decided that she didn't want to get married to me.
Which is
so
fine.
That's fine, right? So then, when I decided that I'm going to get married to somebody, then everything flipped. And a lot of times, the thing isn't about the child; it's about the relationship that you had with her.
Yeah, and I feel like at the same time, it's kind of like the feeling of losing power over that man. And you know that if you, this is something you can hold on to. If you're able to keep dragging him to child support, you know, but you got to force him to be around you at all. But we have a call coming in.
There you go. Yep, 773, you on with the Truth Brothers. What's your comment?
What's going on? It's Kelvin.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
I'm calling from my cell phone today.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just tuned in. I'm listening. I hope I didn't miss too much. But just to comment on the whole thing with child support, nowadays, if you look at it, that's just an insurance policy for people. You know, it's one of those things where, okay, well, yeah, you know, this brother working, he got a good job. You know, I know he's going to take care of the kids, but, okay, he's making X amount of dollars, so let me go down and hook him up so I can make sure I continue to get this money.
Yeah.
Huh.
He
hard to argue with what he's saying.
Jerry?
I agree. And
yeah.
I would say this.
The bottom line of it is, though, if it's your kid, you should be paying child support if the kid is not with you. I never received child support. I never received child support, but at the end of the day, it's two different. It's two kind of brothers out there, and I tell the truth. Will do and make to make do. Some brothers, you need to go file paperwork on their ass.
No doubt.
I have a grandson that I just told my daughter, we taken my grandson's father past the court. He makes over 20 G's a month easy, and he come over with $100 every other 2-3 months. Whatever the case is, I should not ever have to go buy Pampers or formula or juice, ever.
Well, that person was an idiot because you know, when you look at it, if a person is taking care of their responsibilities and doing exactly what they're doing, what is the purpose of getting the government involved or the state involved in your business?
I agree.
He's one of the brothers that you have to make do. You have will do and make do. He's a make do. And that's why his ass will be up in court. It's two different brothers out there. Will do and make do. He's a make do. So when you have a make do, you take your ass to court and split them right over. Because again,
if you look at it, the make do people get away with murder. You know, if I was the type of cat,
I was saying, because I got a couple of people who are like that, like the make dudes. You don't take the make dudes to court. Most people don't.
That's
right. A lot of people take the will do to court because they will do. That's
right.
The thing.
Because the make dude, if he's slinging rocks on the corner and you try to make him do, he going to come over there and make you.
Yeah, he going to make do on your
head. Right. I understand you. I understand that. But let's talk about the guys that are still working, but they still won't do.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, Jerry, you are 100%.
Some brothers out there will quit their job because they connect. It's what happens is the kid is connected to the relationship. When the relationship is over, they're done with the kid.
Yep. Totally.
They still get away with murder because if they quit their job, okay, technically in Illinois, a warrant's supposed to be issued after so much, you know, after so much child support is owed. But they pick and choose who they want to issue warrants about.
Okay.
I know people that I've heard from people that, oh man, you know, my baby daddy's behind, you know, $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and they still walking around driving like the stuff's still good. But let me do something like that, and I drive down the street and get pulled over. I got a warrant for failure to pay child support.
Yep.
Well, they're going to get you before Jesus gets the news because you still have a job. You're money for their system. The system is a little, we got to work the system. The system is not perfect. You're an easy target. So they're going to come get you. They're not going to go in the hood or on the corner trying to find them cats that's not paying child support. The brothers that need their driver's license to drive, to go to work, things of that nature, you're a very easy target, and they're coming to get you a lot sooner than the guys on the street. A lot sooner.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You can't sit up and discriminate and pick and choose who you want to issue warrants for, who you want to lock up, who you want to go down and file child support on. You can't do that. You know, but that's the problem with the government is that they do whatever they want to do, and we allow them to do it.
Absolutely.
And that goes back
when we go stand up and say, hey, enough is enough.
Yeah, that goes back to something Candace said last week, like that brothers like Calvin, brothers
thank you, Calvin.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, man, because your story is very informative. But brothers like that man right there, brothers like Jerry, brothers like me, Ray, everybody else, we need to get together and get a large amount of brothers to get down and just let our voices be heard, because a lot of times this system is not only dragging us, but it's making us look bad at the same time.
There you go. Yep. And we're going to get more into that in hour two. Hour two, we're going to talk about the psychological syndrome that's being acknowledged in American courts, but not being acknowledged in like places like Canada or the UK, where they talk about a syndrome where the custodial parent feels this need to separate the child from the visiting parent or the parent that has to pay child support. But before we get into all of that, we got one clip I want you guys to check out, and then we'll talk about all of that on the second half.
Before we get into that clip, though, we need to I'm interested in hearing from some ladies here. Yeah. You know, I want some ladies to call in 818-514-1202. I want to see what's going on the opposite side of the ball. I need to have a clear understanding, because being a wife who has gone through this with her husband, has seen it firsthand, has watched it just deteriorate my family, and being a young single mother myself back in the day, you know, going through this, you know, with my own child's father. It's got to stop. It's becoming a vicious cycle, and then the only thing that we're going to end up doing is raising kids that's going to turn around and go through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, give us a call, please. Let's hear your thoughts on this. 818-514-1202.
There you go.
We'll be right back with more Truth Brothers Radio after this clip with the second hour of Father's Rights.
Monroe says when she started dating the defendant, she was 26 and he was only 17. Paula has a 7-year-old son with the defendant, and she claims after he was born, the defendant became physically abusive, and then he cheated on her with his witness. She's suing her ex for unpaid child support. Defendant Kamal McCallum says while he was with Paula, she cheated on him numerous times, and that's why he petitioned the court for a paternity test today. Kamal claims Paula is so low that she even had his son call him and say that another man was his father, so he's countersuing for harassment.
No, you don't think it's your son?
No, Your Honor, I'm not saying he's not my son.
You've never taken one?
I've never taken one, okay. But I always told her, and I always...
How old is the child now?
He's seven.
He signed a birth certificate.
He's seven. I signed
a
birth certificate.
He named my child.
And I'm not, Your Honor, there's no way, Your Honor, I'm not saying this is not my child, but after a grown woman puts my 7-year-old son on the phone and has him tell me that another man is his father, Your Honor.
Ma'am, did you do that?
Yes, I did. Your Honor, yes, I don't care how much malice there is, Your Honor, I can't. She had my 7-year-old.
Why would you do that?
He's a deadbeat. Big tattoo on my
deadbeat. Why would you involve a child, a 7-year-old?
Your Honor, that's the game she plays, Your Honor.
My son, this man does not acknowledge my son whatsoever.
Did you believe that? Did you believe he was not the father?
He doesn't act like a father.
Hold it, but you had your son mention another man?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
7 years old, Your Honor.
That's terrible, man. Now you want to sue the man for child support.
I understand I owe the child support, but I never said that this kid was him. I've taken care of my son since day one. Is this before or after we just came back from North Carolina? I showed him my grandmother, got him to know all his familiar faces, all the older folks down south. So she acts like I do nothing for my son. And I just want to let you know, like, this is a classic example of how a lot of men get brought right into the system and owe on paper. But the system don't be on the streets with this one. The system does not be on the streets with this one. They don't know what I go through. Like I can't even get a job, Your Honor. I've been out of prison for a whole year. I have had one job.
Trying to get a job.
All of a sudden, mysteriously, they get a call saying there's a convicted felon I don't know.
You didn't do that.
I don't know who did it, Your Honor.
Call his job.
I don't know. All of a sudden, they send me an email.
I didn't know if he had a job, because if he had a job, this should have been minus.
So you
didn't
call his job. No,
I did not. This should be minus if he had a job. I didn't know he had a job.
She went to the DOR after I talked to my son one day. I told my son, I worked doing security on the weekends. I told my son one day, I said, I got to go to work. He relayed that to her. Man, I got them child support papers within a week. They knew I already had a job.
She's supposed to do that. Yeah.
I've been arrested bringing her sneakers for my son. School just started two months ago. Okay, she brought him 4 or 5 pair of pants, 3 or 4 pairs of shirts. That's cool. I got him 3 pairs of sneakers, you know, to get him started for school. I got a big tattoo on my right arm that says, my son is my world.
How much did you spend for those sneakers?
They're about $60 bucks, $55 bucks.
That's $180,
yeah,
right?
About $180.
How much is your child support order?
$90 a week. With no job.
$360 a month?
Yes.
All right. So you spent half of what should have gone to the child support on sneakers, and you won't even get credit for it.
You're right, Your Honor.
Why do you do that?
Your Honor, like I said, the DOR is not in the streets.
Men need to know that if they give the money or buy material items and give it directly to the mother or directly to the child, they don't get credit for it when it comes to child support.
agency or court, you have to do as you were ordered. Pay $360 a month. This little, I'm going to buy you this, I'm going to buy you that, son, because I don't want to give it to mama because mama's going to blow the money. You tell the judge that.
Your Honor, I did put in for a modification.
Her,
she's very intimidating.
All the time.
She's
all the time.
Every day.
It's not your business.
Every day. Every day.
Yes, you
Let's
do.
Let's get to the child support, ma'am.
Verbally,
no, I don't.
You have verbally talked about my son? Yes, you have. It's
That's
none of your
true,
business
your
about my
That's
son.
That's not your
truth. You don't even take care of my
Let's
son.
Let's get to the amount of child support you're suing for, ma'am. What months has he failed to pay?
He has failed to pay for a whole year, Your Honor. He's back $4,579.
Do you have a statement?
Yes, I do. I have original order. I have modification.
Sir, I went for this is how the system works, Your Honor. I went in for a modification.
Please inform me.
Okay,
you went for a modification,
Your Honor. I went in for a modification. Mm-hmm. Basically, in my complaint, I said, I haven't found a job yet. I need a modification. It's not my fault. I just now got a court date.
Okay.
I haven't even been in front of a judge to explain, to tell them that. And
gotcha.
I put this modification in back in April.
Sir, unfortunately, until you go before the judge, you still owe. And you still owe the exact amount in which you were ordered to pay. Your counterclaim for $5,000 for harassment is for what?
Your Honor, it's just the constant, the threats every day to me, to my girlfriend. She sit out. We just moved because she lived on the first floor. She sat out there, like she said, for 20, 30
what
minutes.
Of threats? Give me some.
I'm gonna kill you. Don't let me see you out on the street.
Why?
You or your girlfriend? Because she hates me, Your Honor.
How often has she done that?
This is every day. I have a recording, Your Honor, saying how she's gonna kill her and do all type of things.
Let me hear it.
All right.
My son don't need you. He don't need to be around you. He don't need to be around that be around that trip out. Be around.
It's an everyday thing, Your Honor.
Without seeing her. I'm going to put my mother home in that I'm home and I need blood transfusions.
Your Honor, this is an everyday.
You're going to draw so much blood from
thing.
The woman. She's going to need a blood transfusion.
Your Honor, this is an everyday, Your Honor. Your Honor, in front of my son, in front of she'll do it in front of you, Your Honor. If I was you, I'd have Doyle get
Your Honor, this is
she might.
Your Honor,
I'm telling you, need to get
Your
Doyle right here, Your Honor.
Refuses
Your Honor,
because she's
Your Honor, this man has caught me in front of my son. I'm at a bar with my coworkers. This man has came in a bar, snatched my pocketbook, so I had to go outside. He has my son in the car. It's 12 o'clock at night. He's fighting me, two of my coworkers. The only reason why he left was because one of my coworkers had a knife. I slashed his
Anyone
tire.
Anyone have any police
she
report?
I do. I got a police report with fighting her.
Do you,
I got a lot
sir?
Of police. I got
Your
a
Honor, she
charges.
Has a police report about her fighting her, seeing my car.
How about harassing you? You have to prove that she has harassed you.
Police reports. I have letters from jail from him saying, I love you. We need to work this out from last year.
He didn't deny that.
Your Honor, Your Honor, if he feels as though he just wants to get out paying a child support agreement. That's all he wants to get out.
Well, why didn't you tell the man it wasn't his? You're going to have your son call this man telling him someone else is his daddy. Thank goodness there was a DNA test. We're going to find out today. We're going to find out today whether you signed that birth certificate erroneously, voluntarily, decided you were going to assume, or whether indeed it is your child. Probability of paternity is zero.
Your Honor, for something that ain't even mine. I got a big tattoo on my arm that says my son is my world, and it ain't even my kid. That's all he knows is me. All he knows is me.
Well, this is what I would suggest, sir.
Mm-mm.
This is terrible, ma'am. This is terrible. But
you know, this happens. Stand-up men, a lot of times they don't feel they need proof. They feel that they're in a exclusive monogamous relationship with their mate, so they go ahead and sign the paternity papers, and this sounds like that's what happened. He didn't say, well, I don't know, so I'm going to take a test. He has gone 7 years, has provided gifts for the child, has paid child support, has done everything to be a father. My advice is that you continue being a father figure for the young man so that he isn't hurt by this with regard to you. However, you should sue her for every dime you've ever paid in child support. Ma'am,
all the threats and the
go check with that man.
I know who the father is, Your Honor.
Now you got another man. Who
no,
is this? Mm-hmm.
The guy that he's been saying is correct. Mm. I just can't
harassing
prove him.
Your Honor, every day. Locked me up over 6 times, Your Honor.
Hey, now y'all can be happy together. You can pick her up after
you
pay.
Your claim is dismissed, ma'am.
Thank you.
$5,000.
You can pick her up when
it's
she's
all right,
faith.
Though.
Come on, Paula. You're
whatever,
a trip. You're
whatever,
a fat trip. You're
whatever,
a fat trip. Take your wig off, you bump mama.
This is my
take
name.
Your wig off.
My
this
name.
Is real.
Right.
Bro.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers, where we are talking about father's rights.
With
and
our guest, Jerry Kelly.
There we go.
From My Child Says Daddy. Jerry, you still there?
Yeah. Jerry?
I would think
yeah,
so.
Jerry's stunned.
Yeah,
that
he
clip
might have lost
was
that
just
clip, but,
devastating, man. Is that clip just off the meter or what?
Yeah.
I cried when I saw it.
Yeah.
I absolutely cried because, you know, from personal, you know, experience with this whole thing, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of parent, you shouldn't be fit.
Jerry,
hey,
you there?
Jerry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Let me have a comment on that.
Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Go ahead.
Come on.
Bring it on.
Corbin, this is my belief again. First of all, I've reengaged for another 10 years of helping parents dealing with custody issues and parenting issues and things of that nature, I'm going to go to the state of California and petition for a new law. When a kid is born, I want paternity to be established, not on paperwork, but DNA at that time. Because you look up 5 years and 10 years down the road, you have these fathers that have mended and have these relationships, and then it turns out to be it's really not their kid. And now, these are some of the fathers I somewhat understand. They unplug and they vanish. It's not fair to the kid at all. But to eliminate this and to eliminate me feeling that mother should be prosecuted for 10 years for doing this, when the child is born, mandatory, and I want to petition it for California, that it be mandatory at that time, married or not. Just have it just like you get a birth certificate. You establish it not on paper. It's like saying in California now you just sign the paper and say, yeah, I'm the daddy. No.
Yeah, that's the same in Illinois.
Yeah.
No. Have DNA testing done. And it'll
all
eliminate
all this
rigmarole, crazy kind of stuff.
Yep.
And me petitioning that these mothers should be in prison for 10 years. Because when I say that, I believe it. I've seen, I mean, I wholeheartedly, it's in my heart. Because I've seen mothers know that this man is not the kid. They continue to beat him up because he's the easiest one. He can pay, if I go see
the
Joe.
That's right.
Joe going to keep putting the check. Joe going to do this. I keep beating him up. Joe late. It's the 15th, but I'm still going. No, to eliminate
right.
all this rigmarole.
We got a caller here. Right, yeah, 661. You're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your comment?
Hey, I first want to say hello to Jerry Kelly. I had got some advice from him in regards to some child custody issues for my son. My name is Adrian, and everything he told me worked out perfectly. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, dear.
And it just worked out perfectly. They have now been to mediation court, and everything is in writing. So everything he's doing, I'm just so proud of him, and it is so helpful. So I'm very proud of you, Jerry, and your organization that you are a part of. I also wanted to make a comment about one of the reasons I went to for my own children to child support was to establish some consistency. I was married to a deputy sheriff who was not paying child support. So the only reason I ended up going to child support was so that I could make sure that I was getting money on a regular basis. It was not to be manipulative or be mean or mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. It's just to make sure I was going to get a check on a regular basis. And he even still found a way to get around that. He ended up getting a workman's comp claim and didn't say that he was paying child support. And for, like, I want to say 5 or 6 years, I still didn't get money, had to take on another job to ensure that I'd be able to take care of my children. So I don't think, you know, all the time, as some guys think, that we're doing it just to get at them or whatever. All I wanted is to make sure I was going to get my money on a regular basis to take care of my kids.
Right. And
he's one of those make-good brothers. He's one of those make-good brothers. Rip his heart out, seriously. And it's not to, we here at the show,
and what we're saying is it's not to say that all women go after the guys to go at them and say, ha, 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 I'm going to take you to child support. No, we know there are women that's out here like, look, I'm giving chance after chance after chance, and you forced me because I don't have anything. Or it's not that I don't have anything, but I do need the help, and I've asked you for help. You said I got you with the wink and the gun, and you still never came through.
Right.
So, and now you're forcing me to take on another job and do extra things that I don't want to do, that I have to do. And in your case, we totally understand you, and it's
That's not right. Like we're bashing you
or anything like that. We get that there are those cases where the women are like, look, I'm at wit's end. I need the help. Yeah, we totally understand.
And we totally feel you, and we're on your side. And like I said, our True Brothers have no problems calling a bum a bum. And and whether he's a sheriff or a lawyer or a drug dealer, he's a bum. And
that's
you had to do what you had to do, and we will applaud you and back you up on that.
Exactly.
This is one of those things where it needs to get in where it fit in.
And
It's not just that. It's one of them things where this here is really just what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. If he's wrong, he will be called out for being wrong. If she's wrong, she will be called out for being wrong. And, and that's mainly what we're saying here. It's not gender bias or anything like that. We're just truth is truth.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And again, the system was created for sisters like you who need the help. The topic of this show is we're talking about the people who just manipulate and pervert the system and drag innocent people through the mud. You sound like the type of sister that, if we was to have a child together and I hold up my end of the bargain, there's never any need for us to go see a court or see a moderator because we're going to be adults and do what we're supposed to do for our child.
Right.
Exactly, because that's exactly what we did initially. We sat down and we put everything in writing how we were going to, you know, do it. And then as time passed on, you know, he probably kept it for a good 3 or 4 months. And then after that, it just dissolved, and I guess he, you know, it was time for school to start. I didn't have anything to get him, you know, school clothes or anything like that. So that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to have to do this. And I hated to do it because, you know, you hear all those stories about, oh, you're going to take in the child support and that kind of thing. But I really had no choice. And as a matter of fact, I could have gotten a modification throughout the years, and I never did. I just kept it at the initial amount that was given to me. I never tried to get more from him because it was sufficient. It was enough to take care of them.
You know, I got to applaud you for that, man, because, you know, a lot of sisters would have went like, oh, not only this, but I'm going to go back and get more. I'm not going to say all sisters because I don't want to categorize every woman into one bunch or one group because you guys are all different. Now, we definitely have to applaud you for that, because that's a stand up trait that you have right there. Because
Adrian, I'm going to applaud you also. Reason being, I know we tied it inside. You like my sister, but I'm going to tell you, when kids get older, it costs more money to raise. I would take his ass back to court. I'm just telling you from a man's point of view.
Right.
I'll take his ass back to court, because when they hit high school, it costs more. They wear size 12. Their shoes is not $30 anymore. They're $100-and-some. It costs more to raise kids as older as they get. And I think modifications should be put in place. And again, I never got a gun. I've had my daughter since she was 3.
And see, you know, in the same case though, Jerry, you got a lot of women that's just like this, like Adrian. I think you said her name was Adrian. Is like one of them that look at it like your case. Like, you know what? I don't want a dime, but in this case, look, what they said for me is enough for me. I can get by with what I do and what he's just chipping in for them. Or I don't know how many kids you got, but what he's chipping in for this kid or whatever, that's enough for me to get by.
Right.
So, yeah, and you know what? And Jerry makes a good point. The thing is, you get to the point where you get tired of the arguing and the bickering and being called names over it. So it's to the point where when you get that little bit, you make it work. And that's where I got to, because of course my mother and everybody else was telling me, you need to go and get some more money. You need to go in there and file to get a modification, because she worked in the court system. She knew exactly what I could do. But I just chose not to go that route, because I made what I got work for me and for my children. Of course, they ended up with the best of everything, because even if I had to hustle or work extra if I needed to, I still did that. But, you know, you just get to the point where you get tired of going to court. You get tired of being called names. So I just made that little bit work. And Jerry is right, though. I think some modifications should be established and put in writing, where, like, every year or two, if need be, they review the case and decide whether or not, you know, more money is necessary.
Right. Oh, yeah. And when the Truth Brothers say we applaud you, we do mean it. Here's your applause.
Thank you.
No, thank you for calling.
For real. We
appreciate
the call.
You're
welcome.
Yeah,
thank you. Really
appreciate you calling in.
Your story.
And I'm also working on some clothing for your organization to donate. I drop it off at mom's house or something like that. All right.
Oh, good. I appreciate that, Jerry. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Good night. Uh-huh.
Yep. And also, when you were talking, when we were just running that clip and talking about when you were talking about fathers who find out that they're not the father, I'm going to put Kevo. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Kevo, you're back on, man.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I knew this is.
It's kind of funny that you play that clip, because I saw that a couple of weeks ago. And just by listening to it again, I saw nothing but red. You know, I don't know if you want me to. You know, I can tell a little bit about my story. You know,
this is Truth Brothers Radio. Tell your story.
This is your platform. Come on.
Well, the guy reminds me so much of me, but the difference is his son was 7, and my alleged daughter was 9, getting ready to turn 10. And, you know, just listening to the last caller, and I understand, you know, you get tired in different things and everything else. That's kind of how I was, you know, some years ago. Got tired of running back and forth to court, got tired of getting screwed around in different things, and just got to the point where I was just like, skip it. I'm just going to go ahead and do what it is that I needed to do. Got taken through the ringer, back and forth, down to child support, talking to these idiots on the phone, dealing with her and all this other stuff. And then messed around based on my alleged daughter failing a grade, go to have a DNA test done, and to find out right about a month before her 10th birthday that she's not my child, you know. So now the woman is costing more money, because now, you know, me and my wife got to try to scramble up all this money and get an attorney and go to court and all this other stuff. And I understand what the last caller said about, you know, the whole I don't want to deal with it and, you know, a little bit help. But I'm sorry. Maybe I might be wrong for saying this, but his ass need to be dragged in the mud. Fuck him. If he loses his job, let him lose his job. If he loses his house, let him lose his house, because those are the situations that I'm talking about, is that the deadbeats, the assholes, get away with murder. but mm-hmm. you have somebody that's doing exactly what they're yep. supposed to do, you know, doing extra stuff, you know, and then they got to deal with BS and then find out a trial ain't there. No, skip that. I'm sorry. The guy needs to pay. I believe yeah. in payback. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, man, because it's like, it's funny to me how you why do you take the guy that's out there doing what he's supposed to do? Why do you take him to child support, but the fear of, not? I don't even want to say the fear, but the dude that does nothing?
It's great.
Like, I kid you, I got to get a little personal on this one, man. I got to get a little
Go ahead.
Personal. I got the same case. I got the same thing I'm dealing with personally. I had a daughter with somebody who moved. Daughter was born in Illinois. You know, things were cool. She had, now mind you, let me get this straight. She had a son before I met her. Now when I was dating her or whatever the case may be, I never saw the kid's father. Never once. It came up in a conversation one day. She said he's never been there. Cool. I felt bad, you know, whatever. So the kid, the little boy, wound up being around me majority of the time. And we got that, you know, that little bond or whatever the case may be, to a point where I wind up kicking it with him more than I wind up kicking it with her, you know. And this, I ain't got no kids. I'm, you know, this is like my little man's right here, right?
Right.
We get to, over time, me and her have a kid, right? We have a little girl. The little girl winds up, the little girl, we bonds and everything like that. And I'm, you know, this is my first little girl. I'm like, big eyes and everything. So next thing you know, things don't work out, right? Cool. Now, it doesn't work out. She decides, you know, I go my way or whatever. Now, first off, I decide to tell her, look, you know, I understand the situation, but it's going to be some times where, not every time, but it's going to be some times where I come through and I just want to get my daughter. You know, because, you know, I understand the dude's never been in his life or everything, but there are times now we're not going to be together. I need to build this bond with her. It's not like I'm taking the bond away from him, but this is, I'm legally obligated to take care of this little girl, you know. And we wind up, you know, she got mad because of that and told me, well, if you don't come get him, you can't see her. And I'm like, that's kind of effed up, but we wind up getting into it over that, which I didn't understand why we were getting into it over that, because common sense says, you know what, maybe he's right, but we get past that. She told me her excuse was you're the only father that
he knows.
Okay. So I was like, okay, cool. So for the first couple of times, in order for me to see her, I had to take him, which was cool. You know, I did it the first couple of times, but long story short, didn't work out. She decides she moves to upstate. We're going to just say a different state, north, right? Now, in this process, now it go, I get hit with child support. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But okay, so if I get hit with child support, the child was born here, I'm assuming that, okay, we go to court here. No, I have to travel to her state in order to make the court dates. Now, I'm skipping over a lot, but to get to my point is, now my first question is, why are you taking me to child support court? I've been there for you, your son, and my daughter, but you don't take the son's father, the child support, and you've never seen him. That was my first question. My second question was, okay, I've done everything that you asked me to do. When you wasn't working, I was the one taking care of business. When you wasn't doing this, I was the one doing it. Now you're taking me here because you decided to move to a different state. And now if I don't make one appearance, if I say, hey, I'm in Illinois, there's no way I can get there, instantly they slapping something on me.
Yeah.
That's contempt of court if I don't come. So you're forcing me to say, hey, I got to leave work, or hey, I don't have, put it like this, I don't have a way there. I can't drive nor do this nor that to get there. Oh, well, hey, if you don't come, that's a warrant out for your arrest. Now, no. Tell me, how is that fair?
You know what? Before you even get into that, look, this is my boy over here. Me and this dude has been tight for a number of years now. We used to work together. That's how we met. And that's how this show ended up evolving to what it is, because we used to work together and talk a lot. And I've seen what he went through. I just want to just put something out on this story that I know he's not going to say. He had an apartment. He had a place. She lost her place. And he says, okay, well, you lost your place. You're trying to get on your feet. Hey, let my daughter stay with me so that, you know, she's going to be okay. She says, okay. The daughter's staying with him. Now all of a sudden, she showed up and said, well, look, you know what? Let me live with you too. And he like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. One, I'm dealing with somebody, and me moving you in here wouldn't be right, and that would cause a type of a strain. But don't worry, she's okay. She says, no, if I can't stay here, she can't stay here. And then she snatched the kid and ups and runs into another state. She don't tell him this. He don't find out they in another state until he gets slapped with child support.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough, and it's a lot of vindictive women, and a lot of times men don't see it coming. But we got to open our eyes up.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
We have to open our eyes up. There's something that I've seen over and over again in a marriage and a relationship. Your ex-wife is always going to remember your social security number. We can give a damn about their social.
Yep.
But they damn near know the size of our damn kidney. We need to make some changes. There is a book wrote years ago by an attorney, a husband and wife attorney. It was called Custody for Fathers. And basically, this is 20 years ago when I first started in this custody battle thing. But it was wrote for fathers to teach them how to win in court. Because fathers will walk in and be like, Your Honor, my son, and the book tells you, a woman doesn't come in saying, my, she says, our. It turns everything down. It changes. It's certain things of men, it's the way we carry ourselves.
Yeah, we're possessive by nature.
We were killing ourselves in court. But this is two things that helped me in court. Reading this book like it was a Bible. And my child says, Daddy, with the founder, Reginald Bratt. But it taught me how to change the way the court works and the way women are. And some of these things, we need to come out the bat at the beginning. I'm not saying we're starting to look sideways at our wives, but again, they know social. My ex-wife from years ago, she know my damn social right now. She probably know where I'm at right now. And I keep a damn, but we need to broaden our horizons and open our heads and open our eyes and not just have tunnel vision, social security numbers, grandmothers. When you might come across the grandmother's social one day, write it down, because when the kid goes to two and three different states and we're looking for them, we'll be able to run a credit check and know where they are and find them.
Right. We got another caller coming in right now.
Yeah, 708. You on with the truth, brothers. What's your comment? 708.
Talk to you. 708. Talk to us.
Nikki?
Yeah, I know this is Nikki. Nikki, you on with the truth, brothers.
Is she there? Oh,
okay. Nope, she just. Okay, well, we'll get back to her.
Right. We got another one.
Yeah, we got another one. 951, you on with the truth, brothers. What's your name?
Hey, guys. This is Tracy. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
how you doing?
Good. Well, now that I've had the opportunity to hear for a while, I feel better. I saw that post on Facebook and went, what? I agree, but I do take issue with one point that women are vindictive. Men are vindictive, too. And I went into my situation a little bit on my Facebook post. You know, I was married for 16 years. And have three kids, and have now been divorced a little more than 10. But I had been through a divorce with my sister and had been sitting in courtrooms and seeing all that foolishness. And we sat down and wrote up and agreed to what we were going to do. I mentioned in my Facebook post that we agreed to $150 a month in child support. We had an open visitation schedule. I didn't want to be at McDonald's at 3 o'clock on the 15th. You know what I'm saying? It was He was a great father. I didn't want any drama. We didn't make it, but we still had kids to raise. This is where I was coming from. This is where I thought we were coming from. Okay. So we write the agreement. We have an attorney look it over. Everything's great. We go to court. We're good to go. We're done. I got not one dime in child support. So I let it go. I let it go. Every time one of my kids called him with a need, it was no. No, no, no. This went on for years to the point where finally my children were the ones that said, enough. So I go to court. And I'm telling you, I have three kids. I wasn't asking for $150 a kid, $150 total.
Okay.
That's the same
thing. What I was asking.
That's the same
thing. Was what I was asking for. And, you know, you made a point earlier, the older they get, the more expensive they get. Damn right. I now have two college graduates and one in college now. Not a book was bought. Not, I mean, just gone,
yeah.
Right? So. At any rate, I digress. I go back to this. So not a dime. And then was bragging about how he wasn't going to pay.
Wow.
But maybe, no, I mind you.
That's about all crazy that ass busted open. Taking his court, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I remind you that we had an open visitation. He could come get his kids anytime he wanted. I count five times over that period where he may have done that.
Mm-hmm.
All he had to do was say, I'm coming to get him. I mean, I'm trying to show you what I was dealing with. So we go to court, and all hell breaks loose. We had, in the original agreement, he signed my house over to me. I signed his over to him. We were good to go. We split up the debt. You're going to do this. I'm going to do that. Boom, boom, boom. So we go to court. The court now issues the support order by guideline, which is significantly more than $150 a month for three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you have paid it. So now, you know, you're sitting here thinking you're not going to have to pay it. Well, what he didn't understand was it was adding up, whether you're paying it or not.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, right. So we get the arrears plus this new amount, and now he's having a fit. So he takes me to court saying, I won't have the equity in her house now because we didn't. This wasn't what we agreed to. We sat in front of the attorney and signed this. Oh my God! I had to spend $6,000 wasting time defending that. So I have no respect for this person.
Mm-hmm. And you should.
I don't either.
Absolutely. Then he dangled cars in front of my only son to try to get my son to come live with him so that he would not have to finish paying child support.
Yeah,
so
he's
I told
the kind of brother that should be on the billboard. He's the kind of brother should be on the billboard saying he's not doing what he's supposed to do. See,
exactly.
I go on both sides. I go hard in the paint. When they're not doing what they're supposed to do, they should be on billboards as deadbeats. Just like if they're
right.
Not
exactly. Exactly.
I
might
just see the driver's
license.
Right. And when they first came up with the driver's license, taking the driver's license, he was the poster child for what it was supposed to be for.
I agree. I agree 100%. I agree. And the bottom line is, people, we got to be mature. I really want it. I wanted the type of divorce, okay, like Will and Jada have. You come over to my house when we're having a birthday party with whoever you're with. I don't care. But it takes, what I realized through that process, it takes maturity on both sides. And if you only have it on one side, it ain't going to work. Get over it and move on. It ain't going to work.
Actually, when he divorced you or you divorced him, he divorced his kids. And that's
right.
That's the sad thing. A lot of men attach their kids to their wife.
Yes.
Let me say this. Something happened to me, and we'll go real quick with it. Men supposed to be protectors. And this this is like 5 years ago. My daughter, and this, I think I was still married at the time. My daughter said, Dad, for a moment, she said, my mom has been in a car accident, and I see my daughter freak out for a moment. Instantly, my brain connected, and I was like, let's go. But
right.
That's not
right.
It's my place to stabilize my daughter. But, and I don't have any emotional ties to her mom. As caring for, because I think she's one of the lowest mothers that exists by not taking care of her daughter, broken promises, and everything else, all the crazy things she did throughout the years with Janae living with me. But for a moment, I kicked in, and I was on my way to take Janae to see her mom and whatever the case is as that protector. And for about a month, it jogged around in my head, well, maybe that's why some fathers unplug, because they're still connected to the wife. And that's where maturity and everything else comes a part of men growing. Men usually don't grow. Women continue to grow and change. Men at times become stagnated. And mm-hmm. that's another thing men need to work on. But they get complacent and they just sit there and rut and get in a. At the end of the day, the kids suffer.
Yeah.
But, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to say thank you for calling, Trace. Tracy, that was an excellent story, and trust me, we're on your side, and he's a bum.
Absolutely.
And we hope you take him to the river.
There you go.
And I'm on your side for those women out there that do the same trifling stuff. Get over it, people. Move on with your life.
You're hurting the babies. You're hurting the kids. You're right, Tracy.
It is not worth it.
Right. All right.
We appreciate that call. We really do.
Yeah, we got another call here, and after we get to this call, I got another clip for you guys, because I want to talk about Alec Baldwin for a minute too. So 352, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Yes, my name is Josephine. How you doing?
Yep, I had a feeling, man. This is not the show. Go to hell.
All right. Now, yeah, that was pretty much a troll.
We ain't got time for that today. Any other time, we would roast you to death, but not today. This topic is too important. I'm going to go back to Nikki. Nikki, you're on with the Truth Brothers. Hey, Nikki. She's still out. Okay, that's
any
cool. Let's we are going to go ahead, and I want to talk about Alec Baldwin for a minute, because if everybody remember, about 4 or 5 years back, he got roasted by the press because a voicemail that he had sent to his daughter, who was skipping the visitation and putting him off, got leaked to the press, and he got tore up by it. Mm-hmm. And what he was suffering through was this condition that they call...
parental alienation syndrome.
There it is. Gold star. Yeah, and Kim Basinger was basically manipulating the child to turn the child against him. And I got a little bit of an interview of him on The View, and what he was saying is pretty profound. So check this out.
Yeah, I think that the what had happened at that point was I had reached a point, and I think if you're going to take a break pretty soon. Here's what happens in divorce litigation. There's a thing called the right of first refusal, and in that, if you and I are divorced and you have primary custody and you travel to go to work, you are obligated to give me the child.
Right. You have joint custody. Yes. No.
We have joint legal custody. I mean, the terms you're using. I'm going to explain to you.
Because there are two sides to this. There are always, to every story, there are two sides. Go ahead.
Right, but I'm not discussing that. What I'm saying is that in the right of first refusal orders that I have that were given to me by a judge,
right.
If she goes away, she has
baby.
To give me the
right.
child. And we knew that she didn't do that 3 consecutive times in a row. And so we went to the court, and the judges do nothing to protect your rights
mm-hmm.
if you're a man in California. Nothing. And the judge in this case said, we think that she's violated this order, and the judge was like, so what do you want me to do about it? You file a contempt suit. They always want you to be the bad guy to humiliate the other person to keep the litigation going. So we pressed a contempt charge because the judge forced us to. We had no other outlet for enforcement. And then they finally said, we will acquiesce and we will obey the order. I was given my daughter. I had 2 blissful weeks with my daughter. And I'm not talking about the Disney dad syndrome where it's taking her shopping and going to dinner and this. I mean, I'm making the kid toast. I'm doing her homework. I'm standing in a room and the phone rings and she says, I forgot my ballet shoes. Will you go get the ballet shoes for me? And I'm sitting there going, will I go get the ballet shoes for you? You bet I'll go get the ballet shoes. That's why I'm here. It was just great. The mother comes home and the phone gets turned off. And I don't speak to the child again for 10 days. And what you learn in parental alienation is that affection for the alienated parent or loyalty to the alienated parent is portrayed as betrayal of the custodial parent. And that parent communicates in very subtle and not so subtle terms that this person is not a part of my life and I don't want anything to do with them and I don't want you to either. And they violate court orders and they force you to keep this thing going. And this is why, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, is why I would sit in rooms years ago when this process began for me and men would look at me and the tears would well up in their eyes. And they were men who loved their children. And prior to their divorce, no one had doubted that they loved their children. But once these lawyers dragged them into this process, they went through this thing, and they wrote off those children, and they wrote off that family. I'd look at a guy, and I'd say, Bob, where are you now? He says, I'm remarried, I have a wonderful wife, and I have two kids, and I never see my kids from my first marriage. He says, I had to write it off.
That's a tragic thing.
And that's what's happened, you know. So that's what happens to a lot of people.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about how this has affected your career and what decisions you have recently made that you want to tell people about. We'll be back with Alec Baldwin right after this.
All right, Truth Brothers Radio, we're back, and we're going to jump right to one of the callers, Mona. We're going to put her back on.
Hey, Mona, you're on.
Hello, Mona?
No, that might be me. I might have hit the wrong Mona. Hold on.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, Mona?
Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
We
got you.
Okay, let's tell the truth. First of all, let me tell you why the majority of this child support is happening. We have two irresponsible people. We're not making children together. We're having sex, and somebody comes up pregnant. Okay, that's going to be the mother.
Yep.
So what the mother has to understand is at the end of the day, when I make the decision to carry this child for 9 months, my life is no longer my own.
I am responsible
for this child. I am not going to sit and fight for a man that I got to make take care of something that is a gift.
That's right.
Some men didn't even want these children.
Hmm.
So we have to teach our children, our women, when you decide to make that baby, that's your baby.
That's right. That's right.
That's your baby.
I agree with you, Mona, but I've told my daughter this. When my daughter's mother told me she was pregnant, I cried because I didn't want a kid. I cried. I didn't want a kid. But when it came down to we weren't together and I had a kid here, men got to kick their kicking gear too. They have the
same responsibility. That's right.
My son has the same responsibility as her womb.
True.
That's right.
I understand that, Jerry.
I'm not saying the men got to kick in, Mona.
Jerry, but let me get my point across. When I decided to have my child, nothing is certain. But at the end of the day, what's certain is I got to take care of my child. My child is not a paycheck. Whatever I have to do to take care of that child. And at the end of the day, when my child grows up, he knows who's there. That's that other parent's fault.
At the same time, I got to agree with Mona because at the same time, to go piggy off what Jerry just said, if a dude realizes he doesn't want a kid, he don't have a choice. He has to ride with whatever decision the mother makes. But see, I know where I'm going with this. If the mother
at the same time, if the mother
says, all right, I'm pregnant, if she don't want the kid, she can get rid of it. But if the father says he don't want a kid because I can't take care of it, he don't have a choice.
True.
His only choice is to strap up before he goes in.
There you go.
I understand that. Now I
don't hit at all.
But yeah, you know how many dudes are really gonna say I'm not.
But what Mona is saying is correct. But before she gets to make that decision on whether or not she wants to have that baby, I have to inseminate her first.
True.
And the choice is mine, and that's where if I give her my seed, then I'm giving her those rights to make those decisions from that point on. So
I'm giving up all my rights.
You're giving up all your rights.
Men. So what I'm saying to the fellas out there, you got to understand to the point
to where you get into that bed, that's where you have all the decision powers. And if you decide to, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to use the condoms that she gave me and you didn't bring any of your own, you putting your fate in her hands. When you decide to go in there bareback, you putting your fate in
exactly.
her hands. And the brother from the Mathis clip that we use, and Alec Baldwin, and all these other clips that we've been playing, and Chris Bosch, hey, all that is great, but we chose to hit it.
No doubt.
And when you choose to hit it, that's when you start giving up your fate. Your fate is in your hands. If you're going to use condoms, use your condoms. That way you know no one can poke holes in them. Use your condoms and be a little more discriminating. Quit running to the club, hitting somebody just because they got a big ass and a tight skirt. Be a little more discriminating.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
And these are the right
one last thing.
Go ahead.
Let me say one last thing. And because I am a mother, and because I took care of my child, and because I sacrificed, my son is now 25 years old. His father does not have the relationship that he would love to have with his son. I never talked bad about his father to him, but he saw the difference. The tragic at the end of the story is now his father wants to have this father-son, I want my son back relationship, and it's water over the bridge.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
It's like miss me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And that was nothing that I did. That was nothing that I did. That's what the dad chose to
right.
do. That's, but we got to stop laying up, trying to turn males into men and baby daddies into fathers.
No, you're absolutely right, Mona. I can totally relate to you on that. I had my child when I was 17. I was a 17-year-old mother right before my 18th birthday. And the year I got pregnant is the same year I lost my mother. So, you know, going through that, I was young. You know, I had a little angst, but I had enough sense to know at that point in time, man, he could not be here. He could not, you know, support her. He could not want to be in her life at all. So I have to make a decision here to be prepared to play both roles. Not that I should have to, but you just still need to be mentally prepared to do so, you know. And even though I went ahead, you know, because I contemplated having an abortion. I'm 17, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I contemplated the whole thing. But I made the grown-up decision to go ahead and do what I needed to do, and I did that. And all I asked her dad, I said, look, I said, just be in her life. I'm not going to, you know, I don't believe in going through all these hoops and everything. If you want to be a part of her life, be a part of her life. That's the only thing I need you to do, you know. And it just, you know, now his family is wonderful. He's kind of in and out of the whole thing. But like you, Mona, I never made it a point to where I would talk bad about her dad in front of her.
And that was that's going to be something that I want to bring up. Like, okay, this is something I want to. No, I'm saying to print to some ladies. You know, when you lay down with Kibo from the block, Kibo got nine of them, and he ain't taking care of neither one of them.
Yeah.
But you assume he's
going
to be the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, not at all. He's going to do the same thing.
Right. And then you get mad when Kibo goes Kibo.
Right. Like, or at the same time, when you sitting there and you think you want to get with, as you say, Kibo, and you know that that his baby mamas are chasing him for child support, but he got 22s on his Z28.
Right,
and he's taking care of his car better than he's taking care of his kids. Why are you getting with him?
And that's my thing when I say that the women have the choice. Like you and Kibo don't care who he nuts in.
That's right.
But you have a choice because you know that Kibo's nutting in me.
But
okay, cool. I need to do something with the baby.
But the bottom line is, women and men got this thing all wrong. We have totally got this thing all wrong. As far as conceiving kids, you do better putting your child up for adoption or you know, and I hate to say it, but having an abortion than to take a child who's here on this planet and put them through this mess.
Yeah.
Because you don't care about the kid. This is all about, no, you don't.
You touched on something I want to hear.
You don't care about that kid. You don't care about if they have a two-parent home or not, or if they have an amicable relationship.
That's good because most parents believe that most mothers that I've seen around, young mothers, rather, let me say that, have said, I just want my baby. Like, they don't care if the father ever sees.
But see, that's the problem. That's where
problem.
The selfishness
yeah.
comes
yeah.
in. Because this baby don't ask to be here. But we all know that you really need a two-parent home, especially in these days now. You really do. But for those people who don't have it, those people who don't have it, you should at least have an amicable stance with one another to figure out how you're going to come to a consensus and raise this baby.
No doubt.
Period.
Yeah, you know what? Real quick, and thanks for the call, Mona. Tony, I'm gonna lock you in a second. I'm gonna tell the story real quick. What you just said about getting an abortion. Here's something else about the whole system, about this conceiving and having a child that irks me too. When I first got divorced and I started dating again, and I started dating this one female, and it was nothing wrong with it. We was just getting to know each other, and then we started getting intimate during one of the sessions. Rubber happened to come off. Okay. Next thing you know, she got pregnant. We sitting there deciding, okay, well, what you want to do? I'm like, well, you know what? We barely know each other. Having a child is not a good idea. She agreed. We go and decide to have an abortion. Okay, boom. I say, okay, cool. One, I'm going to pay for the abortion. I got you. And that morning, I take her to the clinic. I got her. I'm by her side the whole time as we're filling out the paperwork, all of this. As they start telling her what she got to go through in the examination thing, I'm trying to stand next to her. They tell me, oh, no, 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 you need to go out in the waiting room. And they make her go through the whole process by herself. Now, if we was having a baby and I wanted to stand by her side, I could be through the whole process.
They were talking her out of it.
No, they wasn't. I was helping.
They tried to.
Okay, but as a man, I can't stand by her. I help make this baby. I help. I'm integral in this decision. As she's going through this mental anguish, I should be right there at her side to know that I have her back. As I'm in the waiting room, I realize, okay, ooh, I got to go feed the meter. I go outside to feed the meter to the car. I come back. At this point, it's some Catholic protesters outside. One of the Catholic protesters tried to corner me and talk to me about abortion, and then had the nerve to try to bring up what's going on in the black community about it. And I'm like, whoa, hold on there, primary movers and shakers of the Triangle Trade. Before you start
right.
telling me about the black community, check yourself.
Right.
And go inside. As I go inside, I let these two females in. I go inside, I'm in the waiting room. The two females is having this conversation. They lean over to me and say, hey, we heard what you said to those people outside. Hey, we think that was pretty cool and blah, 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 and started talking. So as they're talking, they brought me into the conversation. So when I went to go say something to them, the two females looked at me and was like, oh, I'm sorry, we're done talking with you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's this total male bashing, male hate. Just building up in this room, building up in this place, and it's being perpetuated by the people that's running the abortion clinic.
Yeah.
When she comes out, you can see on her face that she's been through this experience, and they hand her to me, and now all of a sudden she got this anger towards me, like I have led her to this place.
But that's
and,
what they do.
And we
exactly
end up breaking up later about it. So that's just something for everybody to chew on. I'm going to bring our Tony in. Tony, you back in.
Hey there.
Hey. But, yeah,
wow.
You know, I mean, the whole experience about getting an abortion, yes, it's traumatic and it's hard for a woman. But if a man is going to be there with you, the man should be able to be there with you from A to Z.
Well, number one, they shouldn't be able to sit there and criticize you or speak to you on the matter. It's hard enough walking through that door. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. It's hard enough walking through that damn door, getting undressed, laying on that table, knowing what's getting ready to happen to you. They should not be able to impinge their opinion or what they, you know, you don't have to do this. Well, yeah, damn bitch. I know that. I'm well aware of that. Yeah, I'm sorry I said it. Whatever.
No.
But, you know, it's hard staring down that road, knowing that when I wake up, I've made this decision. You know, but I made the best decision I could given my current circumstance. It's my personal right. It's my decision. You know, stay out of it. If I'm here, you have no right to try and force your opinion on me because you don't know what's going on in my life.
Okay.
And you do realize that those are some of the reasons why there have been lobbyists to put into legislature how abortion clinics are actually run.
Uh-huh.
And some of the people that are out there as supporters of pro-life, you know, because they end up making decisions for the people that are walking through those doors when those decisions they should not even have a part of. You know, that's why you have a lot of these people now that are looking at legislature to close down abortion clinics, and that's why you've got all these people, you know, going head to head on the right to choose, because you've got people such as that that are trying to make you change your mind on something that they have no right to step in on because they're not living your life.
That's right, and that's my only point.
Well, and a lot of those abortion clinics that have to do the, like you say, to talk you out of a thing, they're mandated by the government
by
their charter to have to do that.
Yeah,
they have to.
And
yeah.
Another thing about that, it's a cycle to me for, you know, like even when you go from what, you know, when you go down to the child support clinic, they are telling you, yo, we can dig all the way back to when he was 7 if you want to do that. Like, it's like everything is done.
What?
It's everything is done to dig, to bash the man, and not all men are good. We said that, but just like you can go, Candace or any other female can go to child support court right now and go and can get child support from day one. That will have to be back paid
right
all the way up to how old the kid is now.
Yeah,
and they
right.
and they tell the person there will tell you could tell the person no, he's done what he's supposed to do. I just want to get it from this day on. And they will tell you,
girl,
no, you need to get back because, you know, he hasn't done anything to you then.
Right, and you do realize, I'm sorry, Candace, go ahead.
Yeah, Candace, crazy part about that, like my daughter's father. Now, we are both the same age. I have one child. He has 6. So, you know, our child is the oldest out of his 6. Now, if I wanted to really press that issue, yeah, I could go down to child support and say, okay, yep, I want him to back pay and this, that, and the other. But then I have the mindset that, wow, you know, if I do that, I'm going to break him and his other kids may suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people may think I'm crazy for thinking like that, but I care about the kids. This whole thing is not about a paycheck. This is about the kids and their well-being and the relationship they should have with both parents.
Right, and you do realize that when you, a lot of people really don't understand that there are incentives and penalties that are actually set up through the National Child Support Strategic Plans. Did you realize that? That a lot of these entities actually receive incentives
mm-hmm.
and they get penalties based on their performance, based on the amount of cases that they actually process and
uh-huh.
actually, yeah, yeah. So, you know, say, for instance, if California processed, you know, X amount of cases or the X amount of caseload, they're going to get a federal government kickback or incentive just for that caseload. And if they don't process the amount that has been governed for them to process, then they can also be penalized. So that has to do with collection on arrears. It has to do with the cost effectiveness of how they're processing the cases. It has to do with the cases with the support orders themselves and, you know, how they actually go after it, whether it might be, you know, through payroll deduction or whether it might be through unemployment deduction or anything else, tax deductions. Anything. So they're getting paid incentives on how they do this. This is why you have such a large number of men that are actually having this problem with getting their payments down or they're getting their modifications to where that they can handle it because they don't want to do those things because then they get caught back on the incentive and the penalties then start to incur. So if they don't get the incentive, the penalties incur, then you're talking about a loss for the state.
Yeah.
Wow. And that brings me to another point, too. Jerry, are you still on?
I'm here.
Okay, I just have a question, and maybe this is for both of you or anyone who can answer this question. We had a question from Justice a little while ago where he was asking how many men have been awarded child support.
You know what? And I was looking at some information before the show to try and find a little bit more, you know, because that was going to be my question. And it didn't give any numbers, but all it does say is that, you know, as long as there is the non-custodial parent, they have the right to pursue child support, you know, whether it's the man or the woman.
Do that, though?
There are men who get child support, and there are men who get custody. But on average, men get rewarded a lot less money than women get. In child support.
And let me say why that
isn't as open to the men as it is to the women.
That is true. And the reason could be because there is such a disparaging ratio with the earning potential between a man and a woman. So that has a lot to do with it also, because the courts will more so side with the woman because she is a woman. And I hate to say that, and I know some people might, you know, later on say, well, why did you say that? But
it
is
true.
It is very true.
The system was set up to protect women. The system was set up to protect women, but I will say this.
By a strong feminist lobby.
Absolutely. But if fathers stay steadfast and if they are doing it for the right reasons, I've helped maybe 10 fathers in the last year get custody of their kids and they're receiving child support. They were tired getting beat up. I got phone calls, man, I'm going to go over kid. No, you're not going to kill nobody. you're going to jail I'm doing all the right things and continue to do the right things. And in California, the system is based on time spent with the kid and how much money you make. They put it in the decimaster, and that's how it comes out. If you make $100,000, she make $80,000, the figures go in that decimaster, and how much time is spent in
Let me say this, because there's a disparagement in some cases, and it depends on how the non-custodial parent is represented versus the custodial parent. And the reason I say that is because, and I think I wrote in the chat room, is that my son's father, on his low income or his low year, was making in excess of $400,000 annually. He fought me tooth and nail in the courts for 7 years.
Wow.
For 7 years to get it down to
$400,000. $400,000 fighting. Yeah.
Right. And he got it down to $120 a month, and he still didn't pay it.
There you go.
How does that happen?
See, now that's, you know what? That's crazy because, you know, $120,000, but then they're going to turn right back around, and then the girl that defended Bosch is going to say, see?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
what's crazy.
Right.
But that's not cool, man. You're making $400,000 a year.
But you know what? And I have to agree with Mona when she made the comment is, you know, as a woman and as Candace said, you know, as a woman and like myself, when I decided to have that child, you know, I thought everything was good, but it changed, you know, the moment I said I was pregnant. But when I decided to have my son, it was then my responsibility. I had to kind of like push him out of the, you know, out of the picture as far as, you know, how this son was going to eat and how he was going to be clothed and sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do what I had to do. You know, sure, it was hard. I had to work two jobs. You know, I had to go back and try and get a degree to make more money on one job. Did I give up some of the things that I was used to? Absolutely. You know, but the most important thing in my life was my son. And it wasn't the fact that, you know, he made that kind of money, because eventually he was going to figure out his son didn't want to be bothered anyway.
Right. We want to thank everybody who called in. Hey, Jerry, give some information about your
organization
real quick.
Yes, sir. The telephone number is area code 310-642-8816. Name of the organization is My Child Says Daddy. Call in and ask for Reginald Brass. And again, it's 310-642-8816. My Child Says Daddy.
Absolutely.
All right, man. And we want to thank you for being on, man. I want to thank everybody for calling in. This was an awesome episode, and there still might be a part three in our future at some point with this thing, man. This was an awesome episode, man. Thanks to everybody who called.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah, we do
Tony.
Three, man. You got to come back,
Justin,
man.
Justin,
everybody.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Adrian,
Tracy,
that's right.
Mona, everybody who called in, man. We want even a little troll that tried to get in for that second.
Yeah,
we
call back.
No, no thanks.
Call back next week.
Yeah,
we'll roast
you. Next week. We want him back next week so we can do what we do.
So, we're going to let you know that if you're not listening to the truth, brother,
then the truth ain't.
Peace.
Peace, family.